This is Greg Corumbus of Radio America reporting for WorldNet Daily. My guest at this time is Minnesota Speaker of the House, Kurt Zellers. He joined us a couple of weeks ago, you may remember, when we were about a week and change into the state government shutdown in Minnesota. A couple of weeks later, now that shutdown has been resolved, and the speaker's here to explain exactly how it got done between the Republican-led legislature and the Democratic governor in that state. And, sir, it's good to have you back with us.
Oh, thanks, Greg. It's my pleasure.
Well, the good news is, I guess, is that everything's back up and running. At the time that we last spoke, there was obviously the standoff, a $5 billion shortfall, and the Republicans were insistent on tax increases not being a part of it. The governor said they did have to be part of it. How eventually did this get resolved?
Well, I'm very proud to report that we did not raise taxes in Minnesota. And as a matter of fact, we cut one of the most regressive taxes, the hardest on working families and the middle-class Minnesotans, which is called our sick tax. It's a provider tax on medical procedures. So if you go to the dentist or the eye doctor, we are going to repeal that tax, something that has been in effect for over two decades. We are going to repeal that ending in 2019. It slowly phases out. If you had asked me 6 months ago at the beginning of the session if I thought that was possible, I probably would have had to say no. Something is very, not only a good for working families, but very good for Minnesota businesses.
So what will, in fact, fund the difference here?
Well, we've got some temporary funding. We have a little bit of a, kind of a bridge in the healthcare area. It's about, $500 to $700 million. And then we've delayed our payments to our schools. It's an accounting technique that none of us are really excited about. Versus the alternative, which would have been making Minnesota the second highest tax state in the country, which none of us wanted. We thought that promising the dollar that we were going to give our schools, absolutely they're going to get their dollar. We're just going to give them 60 cents today and 40 cents tomorrow.
And when does tomorrow come?
That will be in the next budget year. So it will be this budget is for 12-13, so this will be coming in the next biennium. So what you'll see then is, from our perspective, again, is a temporary only funding, but it's a delay in those payments that the schools will get all the money, but they just won't receive it all in the lump sum on the first of the month or the first of the year like they traditionally are used to. So it is some short-term borrowing and a little short-term delay in payments, but it is a $34 billion budget, something we said was very critical in keeping our spending down. But then there's just loaded with reforms when it comes to a sunset commission, which looks at all government agencies, all government programs. And here in Minnesota, the land of 10,000 lakes, we have seven different agencies that deal with clean water. The Sunset Commission will go through that and say, we probably can do with three or four, or, maybe we could have one agency that deals with all of our water, and then concentrate that accountability to one person so that somebody in government can't, point one way and the other one points the other way. And it is like it always is, which is not my fault.
As you well know, sir, there's obviously a major standoff going on here in Washington over debt and spending and so forth. Walk us through, the later stages of your negotiations with the governor. How did the two sides end up moving towards one another, and how ultimately did you win the standoff over taxes?
Well, I really think, and I encourage my colleagues in D.C., and some of them are my very good friends. Eric Paulson's a good friend. We served in the Minnesota House here together, and North Dakota Rep. Berg is a longtime family friend. So lots of my good friends are out there. I encourage them to do as we did, which was to stand with the people. It's not okay anymore just to say, let's go tax a bunch of rich people we don't know. Because what we found in Minnesota, a lot more people understand that those are small business owners that file their business income and their personal income together. So they know that a tax bill to that person doesn't necessarily mean the person just pays the money and goes about their way. It means that somebody could lose their job. Somebody could have to move that business to another state. So we went out and we asked the people what it is you want to spend money on, and the overriding argument or the overriding response we got from average Minnesotans was, what are you spending my money on? Am I getting what I'm supposed to out of my money? And is there a good return on investment? If we're going to fund a program, we want to know that A, it's working, but B, that we're actually getting something of value out of it. And that was our message all along, is that it isn't just about raising taxes or not raising taxes. We weren't going to do that. We said it very clearly at the beginning of session. And here, as I talked to you at the end of July now, we have not raised taxes. But it was always about what we're spending our money on and are we getting good value for it.
And in terms of dealing with Democrats in the legislature, once you and the governor agreed on a framework for allowing the government to move forward, put this biennium budget together. Did you get much blowback, or were they pretty much on board with whatever the governor ended up agreeing to?
You know, we went into this, honestly, Greg, they had not provided a plan during the session. They did not provide ideas to our bills. They were very clear that they didn't like what we were doing, and they were pretty vocal about it. You know, we said, we understand now you don't like our plan. You don't like any parts of it. So where's your plan? Something I would encourage my Republican colleagues in Washington to do as well. We demanded from the governor, sure, we get that you want to spend more money. That's obvious. But if you're going to make budget cuts in some areas, where are you going to cut? And then with the money that we are providing, what are you going to fund? Show us your plan. So we went into this process knowing that our House and Senate Democrat colleagues weren't going to provide any support. They haven't provided any good ideas. That was easy. That was obvious. But they weren't going to provide any support. So we were, of our 71 members who were here, we had one member that was out of the state and couldn't be here. But 71 of our members voted for all these bills. We did it together. We asked for their input. We asked for their collaboration. Hey, some of the great ideas didn't get involved, but our folks knew that at least they had a chance. They had a seat at the table, whether you were a freshman who was 25 years old and had never been in government before, to one of our senior members who'd been here for, you know, 16 years now and is a chair of one of the committees. Everybody had a seat at the table, were able to offer their ideas, felt great about the process, and then were willing to vote for our final budget. And we put up 71 Republican votes for every funding bill. We were united all together, and it was a proud, proud moment for me as a member of the Republican caucus here. I was very proud of the work we did and how our members stuck together.
So despite the standoff, would it go too far to say that relations have actually improved as a result of all this?
Well, you know, I think there was some reforms that we were, you know, again, the governor signed the bill to repeal the provider tax, or as a lot of people call it here, the sick tax. That's a pretty bold statement for a Democrat who, you know, obviously a tax and spend Democrat. That's a reform initiative that, you know, I'm very proud the governor signed. And one of the things we signed very early in the session was a bill to reduce the regulations and the red tape. You know, the permitting process, what you go through, how long you have to wait. The governor signed that bill, and we had a business owner send us an email and said, I reviewed the new law and my project that's going to be going forward this fall. I think you just saved me anywhere from 6 to 8 months on my project and about $200,000 to $300,000. He said, I'm really happy. I'm going to be able to add 2 more employees. So those are real reforms that, you know, a lot of times in government, it takes a long time to see the results of some of the laws we pass. That was something that was very immediate and something we were very proud to work with on the governor. He signed that early in session, and hopefully it helped some business owners over the course of the summer and the fall make decisions about staying in Minnesota, building here, and then, you know, eventually, in some cases, expanding here. Because that's ultimately the best result for anybody. No matter what we do in government, how many laws we change, an expanding private sector with small business owners being successful will make our state and our country way more successful than any government program ever could.
Last 30 seconds here, Mr. Speaker. Obviously, you're pleased with the final product. In terms of the 3 weeks and the impact of the shutdown on the state, what do you think that impact was?
You know, I think a lot of folks saw some of the inadequacies of government, some of the just downright, you know, you shake your head and think, how can this happen in this day and age with the technology that we have? So I think from that standpoint, we've got a lot of work to do. It pointed out some real gaps in our government that we need to fix. But also pointing out that our government is just too big. It's too expansive. It's in the way. And as one small business owner said to me, he said, now more than ever, he said, you need to get government off our backs, out of our pockets, and out of our way. It has given us a great agenda to carry forward. Republican reform 2.0 will start next session. We'll start the work on it this fall to look at the things that weren't quite right and that we still need to fix. And our members are excited to get back in and start reforming government even more.
Well, I'm sure you're relieved to have this major challenge behind you, Mr. Speaker. Thank you very much for being with us.
My pleasure, Greg. Thanks for the opportunity.
Minnesota State Speaker of the House, Kurt Zellers. I'm Greg Corumbus of Radio America, reporting for WorldNet Daily.